You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
Y'all, it's your man Chris, one half of the brothers Layman. You are checking out the Black Is Break, brought to you by the Black Is Network. This is part two of our listener feedback episode from last week. You had at the table KC, myself, Doria, Shelby, the other Chris, and we're joined by Alicia when we get into this episode. Just want to thank y'all for sending in the feedback. It means a lot to us. Lets us know how we're doing, and you know, it also lets us know that y'all enjoy what we're doing. So let's get into the episode.
I don't know. Alicia is here. And we're having a feedback conversation, so responding to feedback people have left us. And somebody was responding to the gay marriage conversation and was saying how, basically the gist of it was, he seemed slightly frustrated that it seems like we have to be very PC when we're dealing with the LGBT community, as where if we're dealing with issues of race or anything else where another group is marginalized, we're not so quick, or everybody is not so quick to get upset if somebody says something that's outside of the PC box, which we just went into a whole conversation about transgender. I was saying from that conversation, Chris and I listened back to it and realized with our kids, one of the things that we'll have to teach them when they start dating, like they'll have to ask the question, were you born male? Were you born female? Which is something that we didn't have, our generation has not had to deal with.
Can I clarify something? Because, and the reason why I want to clarify is because of your reaction, which I'm not mad at, by the way, but you said, and I wouldn't, you know, it's like when you start getting into the mechanics of this, of being transgendered, it feels insulting to them. But at the same time, let's say, for example, I meet a man and I find out that he's transgendered. Like, these are, they may seem insensitive, but they don't, they're not impractical questions.
No, like, they're real questions.
What's going on with your genitalia? Does your genitalia work? You're not going to be able to get somebody pregnant. Like, there are some very, what I feel like are practical questions, but I do understand how they can feel insensitive for someone who's transgender. And that's why I prefaced it by saying, I don't want to sound ignorant or rude, right, but what is that? How do you, where do you, and then I end up doing that. Like, how do you, where do you, what's going on? And that's when I really feel like, even on the other side, trying to be accepting, trying to be understanding, I don't really have a lot of resources either, because I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah, then you get to the aspects of, you know, how we make generalizations about men and women. You can say women are more emotional. Well, if you become a man and now you a real emotional man, like, do now all of a sudden, oh, now that you've gone, you transitioned from woman to man, are you now saying you more logical in your thinking? Because, you know, how you were born in your genes aren't changed.
Right.
So now, like, how do you identify with that?
Well, if we're looking for clarification on the terms, just real quick, I went to the GLAAD website.
Yes.
So transgender is an umbrella term for people whose gender identity and or gender expression differs from what is typically associated with the sex they were assigned at birth.
So that could be a man who dresses as a woman or a woman who dresses as a man.
People under the transgender.
They identify as, yeah.
Yeah. People under the transgender umbrella may describe themselves using one or more of a wide variety of terms, including transgender. Some of those terms are defined below. Use the descriptive term preferred by the individual. Many transgender people are prescribed hormones by their doctors to change their bodies. Some undergo surgery as well, but not all transgender people can or will take those steps, as a transgender identity is not dependent upon medical procedures. Now, transsexual is an older term that originated in the medical and psychological communities. Still preferred by some people who have permanently changed or seek to change their bodies through medical interventions, including but not limited to hormones and or surgeries. Unlike transgender, transsexual is not an umbrella term. Many transgender people do not identify as transsexual and prefer the word transgender. It is best to ask which term an individual prefers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're not interchangeable. They're not the same.
Transsexual.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right. All right. Some more.
Penis. Transgenders. All right.
Yeah, great night.
Heavy topics tonight. This is not safe for work.
Yeah.
Penis. Penis.
Thinking about the gap bag now. You dropped the bomb.
You missed that conversation, Alicia.
I have no idea
what it's like. Circumcised penis.
Oh. Okay, we did talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody responded to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your shoes are so cute.
See, now we all got the same. Mm-hmm. Leg on the table. Leg on the table.
You got them. you got them new J's?
Sheepy. No, they're from the Gap.
You got them new J's?
Yeah. Nothing special, but thank you.
I'd so those are the ones that people send via email. These are the ones that people actually responded on the site. This is from Teddy D from the Why Not podcast, who responded to the What Makes a Man Marriageable, the throwback episode.
That was a good one.
I loved this conversation. I agree that black women have not been portrayed correctly in entertainment and the news. It's rare, if ever, that I see women like my wife, sister, mother, cousins, friends, co-workers on the big or small screen. It's needed, and I guarantee you the person or people that figure that out will have a huge success on their hands. I've been a fan of the Brothers Lehman for a while, and I love what the Black Is Network is doing. Keep up the great work.
Nice. Thanks.
Yep, that throwback was good.
I gotta go back and listen to that one. I remember when we did that.
Yeah, with all the ladies, yeah. This is somebody else, Ariel, who commented on that same episode. I tell you, I enjoyed this segment, and she is from the WPOV podcast. That's a great podcast as well, with her and two other women. I tell you, I enjoyed this segment. It's nice to see that we, the ladies of WPOV, aren't the only ones who go off the rails. I must admit that I've known plenty of men who've had an awesome relationship with their mothers and were not good partners. I've never felt this was a good indicator of how one would treat a woman. I've also encountered men who had less than savory relationships with their mothers and have been amazing spouses. I honestly think situations like this should be looked at on a case-by-case situation. Thanks for sharing. I look forward to hearing more.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
She makes a great point because that is the assumption. If a man has a relationship with his mother, he'll be a great man. And if not, then you're in trouble. Or yeah. How he treats. Like, someone can treat their mother really well and not treat you well, or vice versa. Not have a relationship with their mother, but still treat a lady well.
Yeah, I've heard that, asking these questions about, with the fathers and whatnot.
Yeah.
And somebody brought up a good point that it was like, you can actually be somebody who didn't grow up with your father in the house and actually still be well off. But, or you may have your father in the house and he's basically, quote unquote, really a fuck up, and you end up being scarred with this guy in your life. So it kind of, it is a case by case basis.
I think you'd have to go further, like even saying like, who grew up in a house with a father who modeled.
Right.
And then you start saying some things that.
Right. Because you really need to see how, right? How was your parents?
Because, exactly. You could have a father that was messing up a whole lot. And yeah. you might model that because you think, like, that's the way things are.
Yeah.
Or a father that modeled some good traits. And the same with the mother, right? You know, right. if the mom is in the relationship or not with her, so has a good relationship. Because I find that it can sometimes be crippling. Sometimes mothers in their relationships with their sons, if they're like a mother's boy kind yeah. of a thing.
Yeah, it's hard for the mama to let go.
Yeah.
An epidemic.
A lot of mama boys out there. Mama's boys.
I don't even want to get into that. Not even.
I just love my mama. I do, man. I love my mama. But I ain't my mama's boy. I love my mama.
No, I do too. But
I learned a lot from her, actually. I learned how to be somewhat the man I am today because of her. You know what I'm saying? So I give props to women all day, man. Like, you know what I mean? For real.
Yeah, it's got to be hard. I, you know, started with my mom and my wife, and I'm curious to see, you know, and it's way down the line about how that's going to be when, you know, you kind of have to, for a mom to kind of take a step back, like, okay, you're not going to be, I mean, you are an important part of your son's life, but you now have somebody who's probably more important.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because this person now becomes like their significant other, and you kind of have to, like, all right, let me step back. And some, I'm sure a lot of men are hard, it's hard for them to do that, and I'm sure it's a lot of mothers who are like, I don't want to get that up. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's funny because I know people I grew up with, like, they grew up in the complete household, mother and father, having the things that they should be getting as a kid, as a mm-hmm. child, being exposed to, like, you know what I'm saying, broadening their horizons, going places, things like that, right? And then I had friends, too, that's, like me, didn't have that complete structure, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Some of us were worse than others, but, like, you know what I'm saying, to watch that. And then to still see that some of these people don't even take advantage of what they have, you know what I'm saying, and still fuck up.
Yeah.
Still do bad. Still do wrong. Moms and pops are instilling the real values in them to becoming an adult, productive citizen of life. You know what I'm saying? Pouring positiveness into kids. And then they still just go astray.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah, it's no guarantee.
Yeah,
all you can really do is, you know, give your kids the knowledge, and you can basically give them everything that they need in order to, you know, make the best decisions and choices and the best life for themselves. But at the end of the day, it's their life.
Yes.
And if they want to wreck it, then it, unfortunately, you know, as a parent, you don't want to see that. But it's like, hey, I'm living my life still. Like,
yeah,
if you want to do exactly. this, then I wish you didn't, but it's your life. You know, just don't act like I'm the one who sent you down this road. Like, nah, that was you who did that.
Right. And I don't have any kids yet, but when I do become a parent, because I still believe that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, man, just like what you were saying, Chris, pointing out, you know, you can only hope that they take from what you've given to them. You know what I'm saying? When you've had those talks with them, and you know what I'm saying, you try to teach them wrong from right, and teach them how to do the right things, be responsible, you know, understand that you have to have discipline, you know what I'm saying, to make it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be disciplined to make it. You can't just be everywhere in your mind thinking that you can achieve, you know what I'm saying, something and you're not even really focused on it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Life will really, like, show you what's up when you become an adult, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I believe, like, man, after you do that as a parent, you know, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
You know, you can only hope and pray, you know what I'm saying, that they take from that what you've taught them. You know what I'm saying? You and the mom, you've taught your kid, like, you know what I'm saying, right from wrong, what to do. And if they don't take it, they don't take it. Like you say, they have their own personality. They have their own way of thinking. They have their own way they want to groom themselves or what they believe that a person should be, you know what I'm saying, to them. You know what I mean? So that's all you can do
yeah.
is just pray and hope, like you say.
Yeah, it's a challenge because of course you have, you know, you want to assume that there are parents who are giving their kids the right kind of knowledge and,
right.
and whatnot, you know, but you may have parents who are teaching them kids. You just like, the kids like, the way your thought process is totally wrong, you know, and I don't want to go that route.
Right.
And I need to go this way.
Right.
And as parents, you kind of gotta roll with it. You know, if you keep, I mean, you can complain, you cannot see them, you can shun them, whatever. But like you said, at the end of the day, it's their life. You can just do what you can, do what you want to do.
Because I can recall, like, I have, now that I think about it, you know what I'm saying? When I think about my life with my mom, I can only imagine my mom trying to raise me, because she's from Belize, right? So I can imagine, and her accent has not gone away to this day, you know what I'm saying? So I can only imagine trying to raise a child from the way you were raised in Belize, you know what I'm saying? And coming to a foreign country, you know what I'm saying? And then trying to raise your child.
Right.
Because living here, you know, you won't really get that. Right. That to bring them up the same cultural way that you were brought up. You know what I'm saying? You know, I feel like they had discipline at a really, really young age. Because my brothers and sisters, their school is, the way school is, they go to school in the morning. At lunchtime, all the kids, they walk home. Mm. They walk home, have their lunch, and go right back to school. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
So that's how my brothers and sisters, they grew up in Belize, you know what I'm saying, like that. Mm-hmm. That's the way school was, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you just knew that that's what you had to do. It wasn't no going astray from that. And it's, man, when I tell you the percentage was small of kids really going astray, I mean, you could literally count, you know what I'm saying, because you know. But that's the way she grew up. So imagine her trying to teach me that. Yeah. In United States, you know what I'm saying? Let alone in California, let alone growing up in the 80s and the early 90s in South Central LA, you know, going, witnessing things, and you know what I'm saying? So she's trying to instill these values in you, like, this is what you should do, and you know what I mean? To what she knows.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
She doesn't have any of that other background helping out. You got other forces pulling you in different directions.
The culture of America to any other culture, and what I mean by culture is, like, when you come to the United States, in a high percentage, you know, you have a freedom to do a lot. You know, you have the freedom to do a lot. You have the freedom to be what you want. You know what I'm saying? But then it's that other side to it too. If you were colored, you know what I'm saying? Right. So you go through that. But you know what I'm saying? To them, it's better than where they came from. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's way better than where they came from, where they're coming from. You know what I'm saying? So I can only, like, man, my mom trying to teach me, you know, how to raise her kid in the United States. You know what I'm saying? First of all, you don't talk clearly, you know, and people ain't going to understand, you know.
People, like, get mad as hell.
If I was to tell you, you know, they, when Belizeans are sitting and they're talking, they're like, buy your man here, boy. That boy over there, yeah, that boy, man, he may get, and that boy don't have one next picnic. So if I tell you that, would you understand that?
Nah, I wouldn't.
You know, would you understand that? But that mean, like, hey, man, that our friend, you remember our friend Joseph? Yeah, this dude is having another kid. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I like picked so, up at word. So they
picnic. But it's, you know, that's the way they talk, right? So my mom talked like that.
Right.
That's normal to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When my friends used to call my house, they'd be like, what is your mom saying? You know?
Right.
Where is your mom from? And I didn't even really understand or know. You know what I'm saying? Like, at that time.
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't really understand. I'm a kid. You know what I'm saying? That's normal to me. You know what I'm saying? So, but to other people, it wasn't. So I kind of went off, really went off into a tangent about what we were discussing earlier. But I was trying to, hopefully, the listeners, you guys got the point that I was trying to make, you know, about raising children, you know what I'm saying? Not from Belize per se, but just a little bit of education, you know, but just trying to raise your kid, you know what I'm saying? And what they'll really get from it, you know.
Now, people still dealing with that. You know, you still got people coming here and trying to raise kids. And trust me, that situation
especially being in the United States, it's never going to get old. It's, right. Every generation is going, there's going to be some people going through it.
Right.
Definitely. All right, moving on. This one is real quick. This one about with the marriage legal for all. This one has just one word, and it says, Toria!
Hey.
That is from my name, Band Type. Shout out to you.
Shout out.
This one is from Colin from the Are We Angry Enough episode.
Oh, I remember.
What's good? First off, I want to say that I'm a big fan of everything that you guys are doing with the Black Is Network. It's great to hear intelligent conversations on topics that don't devolve into personal attacks or shouting matches. Keep it up. Now, I'm normally not one to comment, parentheses, since things are usually so well covered on the show, but I just had to say something on the issue of nonviolence, specifically the idea of, quote, turning the other cheek. People generally view this phrase as an example of, quote, taking the higher road and not lowering oneself to the baser level of violence, carrying a connotation of having to be docile and acted upon. However, this kind of reading is a misinterpretation of that entire biblical passage and perhaps is the reason why Black people have failed with the nonviolent approach. Traditional Judaism has many customs and rules as to how one was supposed to carry oneself in public. Pertinent to this discussion is how someone handled a quarrel. Blows were never given with the left hand, as that hand was used for cleaning oneself, so only the right hand would be used. Additionally, the backhand was a blow delivered by a superior to an inferior. If two people considered each other equals, then an overhand blow would be used. So imagine the scenario that the Bible sets up. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, you offer them the other one. The only way that you can be struck on your right cheek from a right hand is with a backhand. At this point, you are considered inferior. However, once you offer your other cheek, the scenario changes, as the only way for that person to continue striking would be to use an overhand right, effectively responding to you as an equal. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount wasn't about acquiescence. It was about finding creative ways to make sure no one ever mistook you for being inferior. It was about knowing your self-worth and wisely establishing it whenever it was challenged. So while we as a community have taken the steps to be nonviolent in our protest against systematic racism, perhaps we haven't been creative enough. Take care, Colin.
Wow. Thanks, Colin.
That was insightful.
Yeah, I thought I was like, oh, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A gang of Christians don't know that.
Yeah, that was a good breakdown.
That was good. Really good.
All right, and the last one, which actually I couldn't wait to read this one. This is a long one from PDAT. This is from the Hot Dogs and Netflix episode.
Was that the dating?
Yeah, is the dating Netflix is the date is the movie dinner and a movie considered a real date?
Okay.
And he had this great discussion. One. Anytime you spend out with a potential romantic partner, formally, is a date. Two, you should always go Dutch unless one or the other insists on paying. Well, I'll get through everything because I know you're about to go and respond. Three, everyone should buy their own drinks. Even if a woman wants a man to buy a drink, it doesn't mean she's a gold digger. She, in most cases, simply feels entitled to it, which no one is. Four, men shouldn't tell women what to do, and women shouldn't tell men what to do, except for how they, as individuals, wish to be treated. If women are asking someone like Steve Harvey about how men think, then they are foolish. Not because he's Steve Harvey, but because no single man is the arbiter of men's emotional currency. It's a collective of men with collective experiences, and only men can speak to what a man is or should be. So I think women should engage platonically with as many men as possible, even strangers. Since men and women cannot be truly, quote, friends, they should be social enough to glean from each other's experiences. I always bristle when, on podcasts centered around the Black experiences, start down the bunny trail of religion / Christianity and such, particularly if that is not the premise or focus of the show, and it's woefully obvious and or unclear if the participants have any religious values at all. Not saying they don't, but that is uncertain. So it gets weird. I'll give you an example. There are two black women who have shows on Sirius XM, which I enjoy. And they talk about God and religion and even throw out Jesus every now and then. But when they talk about certain matters of the human ethic, they clearly appear to be immoral. Not that they are, but they certainly appear to lack some degree of moral agency. If they hadn't thrown out the Jesus stuff, no one wouldn't even notice. But when you start talking religion, it sets a different expectation.
That's true.
So, nah. 5. Someone said the men were reactionary as opposed to being proactive, which is true, but it's changing. Men should be self-motivated, look out for their own self-interest first, and be proactively above reproach as much as possible. What this means is that they will find themselves leaving many people, in particular certain women, behind. 6. Someone said something about a, quote, post-feminist world. Not quite yet. Feminism is the course of the day in the West and in diverse places around the world, which is extremely problematic.
Oh, my God.
Wait, say that last sentence again.
I was okay. Like, you read it again?
Okay, see. Someone said something about a, quote, post-feminist world. Okay, not quite yet. Feminism is the course of the day in the West and in diverse places around the world, which is extremely problematic.
Okay.
Okay. I think I know what they mean. Okay.
7. Outside of religious/spiritual context, the talk about abstinence is boring. Most people, religious or otherwise, are having sex and doing so at a very young age, and by the time they reach their mid to 30s, have a sizable end count.
Whoa, end count. Mm-hmm. No, sizable.
Being a hoe.
Sizable.
Chamberlain numbers.
Yeah, being a hoe woman or a rakel man has consequences long term. I don't know. It says rake, R-A-K-E-H-E-L-L.
Do we call men rakes?
I don't know.
That must be reason. I don't know what that is.
Has consequences long term as far as pair bonding is concerned. But again, outside of having a discussion about evolutionary psychology, does it matter to the Black Is Online audience who is likely to be indifferent to the whole thing? Are we all not rolling the dice as it concerns sex and relationships? Speaking from a man's point of view, unless they go MGTOW.
I had to look this up.
What's MGTOW?
You can look it up right now. I forgot. It's been a minute.
Is it on Urban Dictionary?
Which is an increasingly viable choice, or become single and celibate. We're all a part of the whole crapshoot. Women will never lack in the area of their sexual purity and choices. They just have to vet more wisely, or not.
Oh, MGTOW stands for Men Going Their Own Way. I don't know what that means. Okay, so let me go, because there's the MGTOW.com that is going
men
to
going
enforce.
Their own way.
I don't know what that means, y'all. We're going to see what that means. I'm going to have a podcast just on MGTOW. Alicia says she cannot deal.
It's like reading the comments on the internet article.
Men going your own way.
It's exactly what it is.
Which is why every time I do that, I'm depressed. I said it's like reading the comments on an internet article,
which is usually better than the article.
Oh, they just make you so mad.
There's always a ranter.
Oh yeah, I'm so good. I saw this. I was like, oh, I have to bring this back.
Sorry. It sounds like very misogynistic to me.
Men going their own way.
So it's okay. Men going their own way is a statement of self ownership, where the modern man preserves and protects his own sovereignty.
This is it's white power, literally. Like, if you translate it, it's the same neurotic thing that tells white people that they're losing power and losing their place. It's just men are believing the same thing, like women are taking over.
This is Urban Dictionary. It is saying that as a man, I will not surrender my will to the social expectations of women in society, because both have become hostile against masculinity. Example, male number 1. Dude, why don't you have a girlfriend? Male 2. It's not for me, bro. I'm an MGTOW.
Wow. Okay.
That shit makes no sense.
Yeah. You just sound mad. Well, overall,
I mean,
that was a lot of good commentary. We appreciate it.
Is there something you want me to read back or point out? Okay, well, let me ask this. Okay. Let me go start. The anytime you spend out with a potential romantic partner formally is a date.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Even if you're not calling it a date, you are dating.
Yeah.
What's the definition again? Read it again.
He said you should all, anytime you spend out with a romantic partner formally.
Formally.
Is a date.
Yeah.
Weren't we asking, like, is that an okay date?
Or was it a real date?
I think we were saying, like, for a first date, right? Yeah, is it okay
to just have dinner and a movie?
Yeah, for a first date, dinner and a movie, is that okay?
Mm-hmm. But then I think we got into defining the date and whatnot.
Because it got into a conversation, thanks to our missing buddy Tash, about who pays for what.
Oh,
and then always happen to pay.
Which leads into his next point. Which I don't know.
Everybody,
you should always go Dutch unless one or the other insists on paying.
Now listen,
then what are we doing? We just friends then.
Now listen, I have a girlfriend who is all about that just going Dutch situation, and I, you know, to each their own. If you can find women who are willing to pay half, whatever, have at it. As long as you're not the woman on a date with the man who won't pay,
right,
and you want him to pay,
right,
then it's just not a good match.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And or if you're just accepting it.
And to me, it kind of boils down to, like, it's kind of flattering to the woman. Like, a man approaches you, he wants to talk to you, he asks for your number, he likes you, and he asks to take you out. I never kind of look at it as rules, but that's my way of knowing, like, this guy likes me. Mm-hmm. You know, him saying he wants to pay for that date to get my time, that's how I know, you know, you like me. You're showing me, like, I'm willing to invest some of this hard-earned money on you. Mm-hmm. Is it a requirement? No. But might I kind of wonder, like, you know, I don't know how he is, how into me he is, because for me, it's a gift.
Right.
It's giving of a gift. And the man is going to say, well, why can't you give that gift to me? Women can. Right. Yeah. Because I know somebody's going to be like, well, then if it's a gift, you guys can give it to me. Yeah, I can. And it would be a gift. Like, if I'm saying, hey, why don't you come out tonight? But something about, you know, the man asking you out, or you guys both having chemistry, and he initiating on that first date, or maybe the first couple of dates, like, I want to pay. Like, I'm taking that as his way of letting me know you're worth my time and my money.
Yeah, it makes me wonder how these dates are established. Like, are people asking people to go out?
I think now it's to a point where they're not even requiring to be liked by the other person. It's just an agreement. Like, I want to be in something, you want to be in something, let's go on a date so we can both go half and half. But my concept of it is, like, somebody's attracted to the other person. You know, traditionally the man may have spotted you first and then said, hey, can I take you out? That's the whole thing about the person dating, you know. I mean, the whole person paying or not. It's an indicator, like, I want your time.
Right.
You know?
I mean, first of all, we didn't make the rules. Men did. Men made these rules, okay? Women didn't make that rule. Number two, you want to join a movement to save masculinity, but the one part you're willing to give up is the paying on the dates. Got it. Okay. I'm like, get a life. That's considered masculine too, right? I mean, isn't that part of defining, like, a man's role? So all of a sudden your masculinity is being threatened so much, but it's fine for the woman to pay. You know, it's like, get out of my face. It's such a joke. I can't even take it seriously. I really can't.
It's funny. I think I have two points with that. One, I do think it's a cop out. I do it. It's one of them things where it feels that's like cheap. If a woman is like, hey, let's go out, then you like, okay, well, you invited me out, so
I've had that happen.
I ain't got to pay. It's just like you copping out. The other thing is this whole movement where as men, they're gonna be like, oh, you want to be treated exactly like a guy? Okay.
And you pay.
You pay.
Well, pay me at work then, damn it. Shit. Like, movement for masculinity. I mean, if we're all equal in this, then what is so threatening about us?
If I can get some real equal pay, maybe we'll talk about me paying for a date.
And dating is not about being equal in that regard. It's like someone likes somebody, and how do I get your attention? I ask you out, or I take you out.
White people don't even like each other anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the missing piece, I think, in the modern day dating world. Like, it's no longer an idea of, like, someone can grab your attention and hold it long enough. It's now it's like swipe. What is it called? Swipe left, swipe right. Yeah, that little thing. Now it's all about swiping. Like, yeah, I like you, but zoop, not like this person too. Whoop. So gone are the days, you know, or I won't say gone, but when you start talking like that, it's no longer about like chemistry or I caught her smile and I liked the way she smiled or, you know, he's so polite. Like I see him interacting. That piece is gone. It's just like, you're cool. I'm cool. Why don't we go out? Well, we both pay. I was like, well, who likes who at the table? Like, right. Really?
Right.
Likes the person.
Was he the one who made the Steve Harvey comment?
Yeah, I blame technology.
Another thing about that comment is, first of all, you're generalizing women, saying that women go to Steve Harvey for advice. And then your advice is don't generalize men. Anyway.
You have annoyed Leisha.
Yes.
I know that. I can't wait because I want to hear the comments about me because I feel like there's going to be like some guys who are like this feminazi crazy woman or whatever, which I don't really care. But, and I'm not even, I mean, I'm as hardcore about this as I am about any group's rights, but I just find men to be so like beyond blind and in their own crazy world. Where men are being like threatened by women everywhere, and women have it so bad. I'm just like, I can't even believe that we have to fight this battle. And especially, no offense to people in the room, but black men. It's just like the things I hear them say, I'm just like, I'm in shock because I just don't see how they don't see the place that they're coming from where there is more power than we have. In a sense.
Black men are very unaware of their privilege.
Yes.
Very unaware of their privilege because black men are also oppressed.
Right.
So
right.
They
in
can
specific ways.
Right. So they really can only focus on their oppression, but they don't see in contrast to women how privileged they are. Right. And when you put it in front of their faces,
and I think
they
that's because
white people.
Like deny. Or
I think
that's
too,
just
that's
how
they're
it
comparing
is.
Themselves to black women, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they were to compare themselves to a white woman, then they'd be like, oh yeah, she definitely got more privilege than I.
Yeah,
have.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right. But a black, exactly. Like
to
if
their
they compare, yeah. But mm-hmm. if they compare to the black woman, it's like, well, you know, all these successful black women, all these black women that have done this, women don't want to be women anymore. Women don't need men anymore.
Right.
Because I do hear that kind of negative talk towards mm-hmm. women. Not so much feeling like they're losing their space, but almost feeling like they're not needed.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think that I'm not disagreeing with you ladies at all, but we are in a space and time where gender roles have changed so
true.
Much.
Yeah.
And a lot of people rely on societal cues to define themselves, which is unfortunate, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of men don't know who to be. You know, you can't be the strong, silent type. I mean, not that you can't do some self-reflection, development. Mm-hmm. That is an option.
Mm-hmm.
But
or just be yourself.
Or just be yourself. But what is that? Because like you said, like Chris said, little boys are taught to do certain things that makes them a boy. Girls are taught certain things that make them a girl. But those lines are all gray now.
Yeah.
They're really gray, especially for the really young people that are coming up. And I think about stuff like dating. How are young kids really going to date? I mean, forget about
online.
Who's asking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Are they,
that's
you know,
it.
Like,
online.
Are they going to, I was listening to something and they said by the time, I can't remember what year it was, they said the majority of people would be engaging in some sort of cyber sex. And I thought to myself, damn, is that really where we're going? Like, that's disturbing.
Yeah.
It really is.
They start off.
We start detaching from the human.
Yeah, because they start off the regular way. You know, like Eli going to school, interacting with the little girls and little boys and finding certain little girls, you know, cute and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, though, I guess It's yeah, they won't they communicate face to face, right? Yeah, like we were out. Well, I went this morning. I met up with an old friend from high school and went to breakfast. And for 1 second looked around the room and there was a cute little couple having a breakfast across from us, not talking to each other at all, just both on their phones. And I was like, dang, this should be like the getting to know you moment. I'm like, I hope they like brother and sister. Then I can deal with it. Like, y'all already know each other. You don't have nothing to say. But if this is a date, this is not going good. Unless right. you're texting each other, which right. would now be pointless. What's the point of being together?
But that's right. how they interact with one another.
Right. I mean, by our standards, it's weird.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's kind of leaked into our generation, too. Like, even with, like, yeah. Facebook, and because that takes the place of not going to see the person. I even remember reading, like, an article on, like, how high school class reunion participation has decreased mm-hmm. because people feel like yeah, they've been in touch with you.
Oh,
so you
right.
don't really have anything to talk about at the high school reunion, right? Like, you feel like you know the person, you've been following them, you're seeing them. So when you guys get to the high school and you know what they look like, it's right. no surprise. You know exactly yeah. what they're doing. So that was all what the whole high school reunion was about. And social media has taken that,
it's not
taken
so
it away.
True. Mm-hmm. So true. What's point three in that long rant?
Let Everybody me see. Go Dutch.
The three was everyone should buy their own drinks. Even if a woman wants a man to buy a drink, doesn't mean she's a gold digger. It doesn't. She, in most cases, simply feels entitled to it, which no one is.
But if we he liked the woman, I think he would do it, right? Like, how do you show a woman you like her? You got to do some kind of an action.
Sounds cheap.
Yeah. I mean, it does. It's like, I mean, the thing is like, yes.
Or hurt.
Yeah.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say, or hurt. Cheap or hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with that. I'm like, yeah, really? I mean, everybody goes there to buy their own drinks, but shit.
Hurt because he bought a drink one time for a girl, and what happened? He didn't get any action. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's different stuff
I'm
in here.
Trying so hard over here.
I just don't have sympathy.
No, it's hard. It's like,
sorry.
Yeah. Right. I'm trying to understand. Yeah, maybe if you're like.
It's very LA. They're not like that everywhere.
No, that
if you guys bump into each other at the bar and it's like, oh, you're cool. You just strike up conversation and you guys both think it's cool. Then I guess it's like, Leisha, buy your own drink and I'm going to buy mine.
Right. First of all, so many guys will just buy you a drink anyway. Like if you're at the bar and somebody's ordering a drink, so many like nice, normal nice guys will just yeah. buy you a drink and they're off with their friends again. It may not even be about trying to get your number. They're just normal, secure guys.
In other cities, they're like that.
That is funny. But yeah, I just want to thank everybody for sending that the feedback. If you do want to respond to any of this or any other shows, you can email us, kc@blackisonline.com. You can send us the reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We appreciate the 5-star. You can reach out to us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can even leave a voicemail, 323-455-4219. Just thank y'all for sending us out, letting us know what you think of the shows, and you appreciate what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do here. So we'll holler at you later.
Thanks for the love. Peace.